Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's Tuesday, November the 10th, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And then Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. Also in this half hour, I'll update you on the latest numbers from USDA, including yesterday's crop progress reports and this morning's crop production and WASDE numbers. And along the way, we'll discover how dairy scientists right here at this land-grant university are working to make milk producers more efficient. And then, in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us to take a complete look at a beautiful agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat pit, a 523 settlement price up 3 cents. The March at 543 up 3. And May contract at 556 and a quarter, 3 higher. July wheat at 568 and a quarter up 3 as well. Hard red in Kansas City at 525 and a half up 3. And 3/4 for the day. December corn futures $3.94 and a half, 8.5 cents higher. The March at 409 up 8.75, and the May at 419, 8.75 cents higher. July corn at 427 and a half, up 8.5. September futures 8 cents higher at $4.35, and December of next year $4.43. Finished 6.25 higher on the afternoon. Soy complex now, November beans for the day. Nearby contract at 961 and a half, down 2.75. January at 968, finished down 4 cents. The March at 974, down 4. And the May futures in the bean pit at 977 and a half, down 3.75. July at 983, down 4 cents. And next year's November soybeans, $9.80. Finally, a little green on the board, up a penny and a quarter on the day. December bean meal at 288.20, down $6.10. December bean oil at 37.56, down 21. December live cattle at 84.60, 35 cents lower. And the February futures there at 86.27 and a half, down a dime. November feeders at 93.87 and a half, 37 and a half cents lower. And December lean hog futures finished $55.62 and a half cents, down 17 and a half cents on this Tuesday afternoon. You are, of course, listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby contract in the crude oil at $79.05, down 38 cents a barrel. January futures there at $79.64, down 43. December ethanol at $1.94 and 4 tenths, that's up 2 and 9 tenths. December natural gas at $4.48 and 2, that's down 18 and 8 tenths. The RBOB at $1.97 and 7 tenths, just about unchanged. December diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.05 and a tenth of a cent, a penny and a tenth lower for the day. Gold futures at $1,101.90, and they're up $1.10 on the afternoon. The Dow now at 10,240, just about 14 points higher. The U.S. dollar down 0.01 at 75.01. And the CRB index for the day at 272.31 is down 1.78 on the afternoon. The Goldman Sachs at 509.34 is down 0.95 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Keezer. He says tonight should be in the north mostly clear and cooler. In central sections, clearing. In the south, mostly cloudy, widely scattered showers early and then clearing after midnight. Lows will range from 30 in the far northern parts of Indiana to 45 in the far south, says Mr. Keezer. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from 55 in northeastern Indiana to 63 in southwestern parts of Illinois. The extended forecast says dry and seasonably mild weather is expected Thursday and Friday. A cold front will push through Illinois and Indiana this weekend. That'll likely trigger some scattered light showers Saturday into Sunday. Amounts, though, should remain light. The models are in disagreement after that, says Mr. Keezer. The American GFS suggests that a potent storm system will pass through the area early next week. If that happens, a delay in field work will follow. More on the ag weather when we get to the bottom of the hour.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon. On the line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
USDA releasing its crop production and WASDE numbers this morning. They showed for corn today that they're expecting now a 12.9 billion bushel crop. That's down about 0.7%, and it's on 162.9 bushel to the acres, with the harvested acreage unchanged. Any of those numbers surprise you at all?
Well, I mean, we weren't probably looking for quite that much of a drop in the yield. We were a little bit surprised. They dropped Illinois and Iowa 4 and 5 bushels on their production there. But as we talk around and hear, some of the yields in the northern part of the state are coming in a little less, the test weight being a little down, and the high moisture levels like that in Illinois. In parts of Iowa, I guess, had suffered some setbacks that way. And along the way, I guess, some very good yields, and that's still, you know, an awfully good yield, over 162, but, you know, not the numbers that we were talking or bandying around earlier in the year.
It is a very good yield. Looks like it's probably still remains the best yield on record, but the second biggest total crop behind, 2007, when we harvested just about 13 billion bushel. And this time around, the ear weight, which is something we probably were talking about quite a little bit and has to do with test weight, had moved back just a bit. Do you think that's where most of the adjustment came?
I'm sure that it probably was, Todd, in the respect that basically we still have the ears out there, as we've had some damage and a few other things along the way, and a little down corn and some mold problems, why that does lighten up some of those ears, and of course that would make, you know, less volume. We were talking to one farmer today, and he was looking, his way wagon was rated to hold so many bushel, and basically totally full, it was still 40 bushel less than what it was rated for. So that tells us the test weight is down, and there aren't quite as many bushels with the same volume of corn.
What did you make of the soybean numbers? They now show harvested acres at 76.6. That's unchanged from the previous forecast, a 43.3 bushel of the acre crop, up 2.1 percent, that is, and production at 3.32, so a bigger bean crop on hand.
You know, that's, the trade was looking for a bigger bean crop. It fell within somewhat the ranges of all that. But the one thing that surprised, I think, a lot of people was they did not reduce or have some abandoned acres figured into that figure, Todd. Now, we do feel that some of the acre or the yields are being made up in different places compared to, you know, we talked about the large damage in Louisiana, Mississippi, and some up in the Dakotas and along the way, is, and where there was some white mold and that along the way. But we have picked up some other really strong yields, and I think that they maybe did that adjustment. But I was somewhat surprised that they maybe didn't have a few less harvested acres just because of some abandonment and down in the on the Delta area, Todd.
Yeah, this is a very big crop based both on yield and total production. Will we be able to use it?
Oh, I think, you know, the Chinese appetite for beans is going to stay strong. I mean, that's going to be more so, well, we get some rains in Argentina where they're holding back a little bit on some plantings. You know, as we looked at the world balance sheet there, we're seeing a lot more beans going in South America and a lot more anticipated coming up there. So, you know, we're going to have some competition the second half of the year that we didn't have last year for the Chinese business. So it's going to... we're definitely front-loaded, and it's good if we can get a lot of them sold out of here very fast and get them shipped.
Hey, one other note. Did you make note on the USDA state breakdown for bushels to the acre? And this is only off one bushel from the last time around, but that Iowa remains really a strong soybean producer. And we often think about the eastern part of the Midwest as the heavy soybean production area. But Iowa, at a 51 bushel statewide average, that was down a bushel from the October crop production report. Illinois, for instance, is up a bushel, and it's at 45. Indiana at 46. And Ohio at 48 is up two bushels as well. But still, Iowa coming in with a 51. Did that surprise you at all?
Yes, I think we expected to be strong, but to be that much different than Illinois is definitely something to look at, and wondering where the deviation come in on that, Todd. So I think that they'll probably come a little more on getting the beans in the ground earlier out there.
Anything from the supply and demand reports that struck you as you took a look at those?
Well, I think, we did cut, as we got closer to $4, we seemed to see corn exports seem to not be as aggressive. In that market, we cut back 50 million there, and there's talk of another 50 million that might be cut if we stay up around this $4 mark again for later down the road in another report. So, that I think is a very, we noticed that quite a bit. I think, like you say, as we look ahead, it's how are we really going to figure the beans for, after the first of the year or later on after March, basically, when South America gets to be in competition with us. But, I think the reduction in the corn export number probably, if that hadn't happened, of course, well, we would have seen even stronger corn market today.
Anything really you think changed fundamentally in this marketplace today because of the numbers?
No, I think we were well within ranges of what we were looking for. It just sort of confirmed a few facts, Todd. I think we actually had more shocking news yesterday on how the economy, how the dollar reacted to the House passage of the health care bill. And I think that the inflationary factors are actually probably bigger than what this report today was.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
No, it was one of those very confusing days that we weren't really sure what to say, so we're just going to go on and say, with the reports out of the way now, and we're going to take a look and see where we go from here. But I think there's going to be very strong support, strong resistance to go through the $4 mark in the near future in the corn.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what he has to say again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
Listening to the Closing Market Report for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Yesterday afternoon, USDA released its latest crop progress and weather reports that showed that mild, dry weather had returned to much of the country during the past week. That promoted field work and provided ideal growing conditions. That's right, growing conditions for small grain crops. Average temperatures climbed to as many as 10 degrees above normal in South Dakota and Kansas. In contrast, though, below-average temps dominated much of the southeast and the Atlantic coast. Precipitation last week totaled just 5% of normal or less across the majority of the nation during the week, except for the Pacific Coast and Oregon and Washington areas, as well as some isolated locations in the Great Plains and along the Atlantic coast, which received rainfall totaling as much as 150% of normal for the week. The corn crop had matured to 97% complete by last week's end, 3 points behind the last year. Producers harvested 12% of the nation's crop during the week, leaving progress at 37% done, 32 points behind last year, 45 points, or nearly 3 weeks behind normal. Overall, 68% of the corn crop reported in good to excellent condition. That's up slightly from last week's ratings. In the soybeans, harvest had advanced to 75% complete by November the 8th. That's 16 points behind last year and 17 points or 18 days behind the rolling five-year average. Producers in the six largest soybean-producing states, representing over 53% of this year's acreage, harvested 18% or more of their crop during the week. And winter wheat producers had seeded 86% of the winter wheat crop, 6 points behind last year and 7 points behind the rolling five-year average. Progress most active, of course, right here in the great state of Illinois, where producers rapidly seeded their crop on soybean acreage harvested last week. Emergence was complete on 71% of the 2010 acreage, 10 points behind last year and 11 points behind the rolling five-year average. Aided by the return of warmer temperatures, emergence was most rapid in Indiana and Michigan nationwide during the week. Overall, 63% of the winter wheat crop reported in good to excellent condition. That's down slightly from the ratings last week and 5 points behind last year. Up next here on the Closing Market Report, the dairy specialist right here on this campus have made a great big splash in the milk industry. I'll have more on how they're stirring up a long-held cow and calf nutrition management technique. Dairymen make money by selling milk, but need calves to keep the herd fresh. One of the ways they keep the money flowing is to limit the amount of milk the calf gets, pushing them very quickly towards dry foods. Well, that's fine, really, for the calf, but it may not be the best way, says University of Illinois Professor of Animal Sciences James Drakely.
We're actually looking at programs with greater rates of milk or milk replacer feeding that would get a little bit closer to the natural situation or what the calf would do if it had free choice to milk over the course of the day. Traditionally, we've been limiting the amount of milk fed to calves to try to encourage early dry feed intake so that they can be weaned sooner. But we're finding we can increase the amount of milk fed in the first few weeks of life and still not hamper that weaning transition.
The quick transition to dry food and money from fluid milk for sale. Well, the good news is the calves gain weight faster and are healthier. On the subject of dairy health, a lot of nutrition lab time has been spent at the University of Illinois figuring out just how to best transition that calf's mother from pregnancy to lactation. And there have been some discoveries.
Probably the most interesting finding is that by forming a bulky diet using some chopped straw to lower the energy density, we can actually help cows maintain a more constant feed intake and, again, smooth this time of transition into lactation. And there's a lot of excitement about that because it seems to have pretty pronounced effects on decreasing disease incidence in cows. So we've been working on kind of the practical application of those diets and how to best formulate them and all the management considerations that have to go along with that to make them work properly.
Outside of the lab, the U of I Animal Sciences team has been doing a lot of practical work to make the transition to lactation easier. Things like deciding how small and uniform in size the chop must be in order to keep the cows from sorting those different parts out. It is all part of the academic and practical dairy nutrition puzzle. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Please visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. On the line with us this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural energy markets is Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk about action in the crude oil market. You had written me a note and said it's been choppy. Tell me about that.
Yeah, the choppy action in crude comes after the early October run-up from about $65 in crude up to $82. It went real fast. But for the past 3 weeks or so here, we've been in a fairly tight trading range from $75 on the bottom to about $82 on the top. And so now we're hoping that we can get more of a price set back in all the energies so that we can start contracting some fuel, some diesel fuel and some propane for the 2010 season.
And where would you like to start doing that?
Well, we'd like to get the crude drives the product market, so we kind of look at the crude to give us the direction, and we'd like to have it break under that 75 and get down more into the 70 to $75 area, but we have to get under that $75 support level first. We don't think we can get a large break, but we're hoping for a smaller break of $3 to $5 at least from present levels. We're trading around $78, $79. If we get down in the $70 to $75 range over the next month or so, that would probably be a good entry point to start buying the diesel fuel, some gasoline, and propane for next year.
And you're suggesting that a bottom might come in the next few months, so if you're not looking for a big break, I take it that bottom can't be very far away at this point.
That's right. Seasonal studies suggest that over the past 10 to 15-year period, probably 80% of the time, it's a good time to start contracting next year's product sometime between Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day. So what we'll tend to do is start taking and going out in time through that 2 or 3 month period, and we'll start doing some contracting in increments as we go out into time.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, that's about all for now. The falling dollar has been supporting us quite well, so we're watching that probably the closest of any one indicator. So we'll continue to watch that and look forward to some contracting opportunities.
Thank you so much, Harry.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural energy markets.
Programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
And Stephen Platt now joins us to help us continue our look at the agricultural energy markets on this Tuesday afternoon. He's with Archer Financial Services. That's part of ADM Grain Group, or ADM, in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Stephen. Can you tell me what you think the marketplace looks like in Chicago at this point, and whether traders are thinking the economy as a whole is going to get better as we move through the winter season?
Well, I have to think that certainly looks to be the case, and we've seen it in the energy markets. The market has been really marked by opposing fundamental forces. On the one hand, you have improving demand, Chinese recovery known for some time, and we are now picking up some reports of more active freight movement. The supply side also expanding, with both OPEC and non-OPEC production likely to rise. So the market probably is going to move back into a trading range, possibly limited by 82 on the upside, with concerns being generated by the high prices maybe impeding demand, and on the downside probably being supported by the dollar weakness that we've seen and fund movement into commodities, which is going across the whole complex.
Well, and what are your suggestions for producers as they look out across this? We have had others suggest that they take a look at booking fairly soon their needs for the coming season. Would that be your view as well?
It would be. I'd like to see a little bit of a setback here. Maybe in the heating oil or diesel for many people, probably down back under $2, which is certainly possible in terms of these markets and their volatility. Certainly the potential is there for a firmer market as we move into 2010.
Thanks so much. Back in 2 minutes.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Governor Pat Quinn says inmates being released early to help the state deal with its budget problems will be monitored electronically so authorities can supervise them. Illinois will release about 1,000 prisoners in the coming weeks. Quinn says the early releases, some up to a year early, are necessary because of Illinois' financial troubles. The governor tried to reassure people today that the inmates being released haven't committed violent crimes. Quinn says the inmates hopefully learn their lessons in jail and won't return to criminal activity, but acknowledges he'll catch heat if any early release prisoners go astray and commit violent crimes. University of Illinois officials are reminding employees that if they're not on strike but want to stay away from work to honor a picket line, they'll have to take vacation time. They're putting out the reminder in case graduate student employees decide to walk out. The Graduate Employees Organization has approved a strike authorization, and leaders say they may decide to walk out even before the next round of contract talks with U of I officials take place next week. Neighbors around an old manufactured gas plant on Champaign's north side are worried about a nearby water utility project. Members of a group that's criticized Ameren's pace of cleaning up the site claim that Illinois American Water's work around the site may dredge up some of the chemicals left behind when the gas plant closed decades ago. An Illinois American spokesman hasn't been available for comment. The Indiana Family and Social Services Administration says it will reduce reimbursements to hospitals for serving patients on Medicaid. The agency says it's cutting reimbursements by 5% as one way to make up for a new $34 million cut in its budget. A hearing involving a first grader in Villa Grove who wants to keep his autism helper dog in school is being held before a Douglas County judge this afternoon. The case involving Caleb Drew and a separate suit involving an autistic boy in southwest Illinois are the first challenges to an Illinois law allowing service animals in school. Drew's family says the boy needs the dog to remain calm and safe in class. Villa Grove school officials worry about the risk to other students. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Rural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming is on the line today to take a look at a beautiful weather forecast. A little gray here, but it's going to get a lot better, I think, over the coming few days, isn't it, Don?
Yeah, it really is, Todd. We've got a really good opportunity coming up for the next 10 to 14 days, maybe. Is it going to be completely dry? No chance of moisture? No, but the chances for precipitation look to be light. It looks like any system that's going to come on through will be a quick mover. So for folks to get a lot done across Corn Belt, Midwest, and other areas that need more time, we're going to get some pretty decent weather. I think this is going to be a weather pattern that's got at least 10 days in it. As we get a little closer to Thanksgiving, I think we'll start to see weather patterns change. But until then, knock on wood, looks like some good weather coming.
Beautiful weather. And then after Thanksgiving, that would be kind of the time we change anyway, is just colder and wetter and snowier and all those kinds of things that come along with late fall.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. Right now, the weather pattern across North America is being driven by a big area of low pressure up in the Gulf of Alaska. It's causing our jet stream across the lower 48 states to basically go west to east very quickly. No big bends, no big dips, no real big storms have a chance to form in this pattern. Eventually, this type of pattern breaks down, and when it does so, we see cold air released out of Canada, and the weather patterns change. But we're probably 10 to 14 days away from that.
How about in South America? What are they seeing? Are their skies as clear as ours?
No, it's been a little bit more active down there, especially in some portions of central and southern Brazil, a little bit more moisture in the way of precipitation has been found in Argentina as well, although there are still some areas of Argentina that could use some moisture.
And other places around the globe you'd like to take a look at before I let you go for the afternoon?
Not much going on in Australia right now. We do have it's not a strong El Nino yet, but I think we're starting to see a little bit of the effects in Southern Hemisphere around Australia with some drier weather.
And don't forget, I'll see you tomorrow evening in Kansas City at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention. Looking forward to that.
Likewise.
All right. Thanks much. And
bye-bye.
We'll pick you up there. I'll talk to you later. That is Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. By the way, Dave Dickey and I will be in Kansas City beginning tomorrow, Wednesday, and then Thursday and Friday. And the folks here will be handling things part of the time, and we'll be handling part of the things too. So stay with us and bear with us as we make our way through that process. You have a great afternoon. Stay safe out there during this harvest season. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.